In Tanya 200, we are up to chapter 43. In chapter 42, the Rebbe states that the fear of God that is necessary in the observance of commandments is like the fear of a human being. Being conscious of another person's presence enables us to resist temptation and to refuse to sin. In fact, we can't sin when someone is watching. In the same way, if we are conscious of God's presence, if we are aware of the fact that God is standing over us and wants a relationship and wants us to respond to Him appropriately, correctly, we know that there is the eye that sees and the ear that hears. This is enough of a fear motivation to motivate the performance or the observance of the commandments. Then the Rebbe asked, a human being is physically visible, and so we are conscious of a human being's presence because we can see him. But we don't see God. So how can we be conscious of God's presence in the same way that we are conscious of a human presence when God is not visible to the eye? And for this, the Rebbe said actually two things. First of all, what's visible in a human being is only the body, and that's not what keeps us from misbehaving in their presence. It's not their body's presence, it's the presence of their consciousness, of the fact that they are aware of what we're doing. So when we look at the body, we are looking at the garment that contains the soul and the awareness of the human being. In the same way, when we look at the world, when we look at creation, we should be conscious of the fact that the creation, physical existence, is merely the garment in which God is present. God is conscious, is watching. He is the eye that sees and the ear that hears. And all we need to see is the evidence of His presence, and the evidence is in the physical, in the garment that contains His presence. So the analogy is perfect. But more than that, the Rebbe said, we don't need any explanations. We are all believers, the descendants of believers, and we don't need explanations. We are naturally aware of God's presence if we only allow ourselves to be. Which means that our faith, the awareness that we have, that doesn't come from logical conclusion, from evidence, but rather it comes from within us, native to our soul. We believe in God long before we have any explanations or rationalizations. And that's why the Hebrew word for belief, emuna, really means familiar. Like a craftsman familiar with his craft. Uman. Emuna means we're familiar with God. We don't need to be told. We don't need to have proof. We don't need explanations. And so, in this awareness of God's presence, we have the required, necessary, practical kind of fear of God's presence that allows us to fulfill the commandment and reject the sin. Now, in chapter 43, the Rebbe says that there are two levels of fear. They're known as the higher level and the lower level fear. They're also known as the internal and external fear. What is the lower level fear, and why is it called external? The lower level fear comes from the realization that all the worlds, all of creation, the entire universe, with all of its awesomeness, with all of its magnitude, is all insignificant compared to God. In other words, when we look at nature and we see the grandeur, we see the order, we see the awesome system that exists in nature, we are overwhelmed and overcome by an awe and a fear of the creator, of the architect, of the master of the universe, who is infinitely greater than the universe itself, than his creation. So to be humbled by the creator through observing and understanding and appreciating the greatness of his creation, this is called the lower level fear. It's also called the external fear. Why external? Because it comes from observing what the eye can see. It comes from observing the creation, which is external to the Creator. It's merely the garment or the creation that the Creator produced. So since my awe of God comes from my observation and appreciation of the creation, it is therefore called the lower level fear, because it doesn't allow me to see God as the only existence, even though I see him as the ultimate existence, but he's not the only existence. I can't dismiss the existence of the universe, of creation, because it's the creation that moved me to recognize God's greatness. So since my appreciation of God comes through his creation, then creation is significant too. At least it is significant in that it tells me of the Creator. There's another kind of fear, a kind of fear that is more internal, more soulful. It doesn't come from appreciating creation. It doesn't come from being moved by nature and by the galaxies and the planets and the orderliness of nature. It comes from within. It comes from the fact that I am related to God directly, and I don't need creation to tell me about God. Now that awe, that fear that comes from above creation, concerning this, the sages say that if there is no wisdom, there is no fear. In ein chachma, ein yira. If there's no chachma, there is no fear. Why do I need the wisdom in order to arrive at this fear? Because the fear that is higher and greater than creation, that is not the result of my respect for creation, this comes from chachma. It comes from the wisdom that precedes creation. The Talmud says, who is considered a chacham? What is the sign or the symptom of the wise? And one of the signs is that the wise see the outcome. They see the birth, the consequence. So the simple meaning of it is, a wise person knows and sees in advance the consequences of his behavior, how things are going to turn out, and acts accordingly. That's what makes him a wise person. But on a deeper level, what the Mishnah is telling us is that wisdom, in its truest meaning, the truest level of wisdom, is the ability to see reality prior to creation. And that means, who is truly wise? The one who sees the birth. In other words, his perspective is from pre-creation, and he sees creation coming into existence. He sees the birth. Whereas without this wisdom, our perception of reality is that of nature and creation. But we're trying to see past it, to trace it backwards to its origin, to its creator, and if we succeed, and we become conscious of the creator through our observations of nature, then we come to the lower level fear, a fear produced by creation. But Chachma, the truly wise, sees reality as it existed before creation. And he sees creation coming into existence. He sees it being born. And therefore, to him, God is everything, not just the ultimate. God is everything, because he sees reality as being the creator. And creation is something born out of that. So his perspective is beyond nature, prior to nature, prior to creation. And so his fear of God is not the result of creation, but transcends creation and is directly connected to God himself, to the creator, prior to creation. And that's called the higher or internal fear. And this has to be preceded by wisdom. Yet, the lower level fear is necessary for the observance of the commandments. In terms of practical application, you have to have the lower level fear, because concerning this fear, the Talmud says, if there is no fear, there will be no wisdom. So if there is no fear, there is no wisdom. If there is no wisdom, there is no fear. So how do you start? What do you begin with? If you can't have one without the other, then you're paralyzed. But the fear that you can't have without wisdom is the higher level fear. And the wisdom you can't have without fear is referring to the lower level of fear. So there's a basic fear that you must have before you attempt to understand God. And then there is the fear that comes as a result of having successfully understood, of being able to see the Creator prior to creation. Now, just as there are two levels of fear, there are also two levels of love, the higher level and the lower level. Again, the lower level of fear is called external because it comes from nature. When a person considers that all of life comes from God and that all pleasure comes from God, so any time he is tempted by a pleasure that is human or worldly or earthly, he is reminded that this is not true pleasure. This is a byproduct. These are the crumbs of pleasure. Real pleasure lies in godliness. Real life lies in godliness. Because God is the source of all life, he is the truest life. This is called the lower level of fear, because he refrains from sinning, he refrains from indulging in his passion, because he recognizes that this passion is not the truest. Is not the source, it's not the beginning, it's not the original. The original life, original pleasure, original passion is all in godliness and in God. But that's the lower level, because it comes out of an awareness and a consciousness of the fact that I am alive, my life is precious to me, I want to live. And in my desire to live, I want the ultimate in life, the truest life, the most meaningful life. So when I serve God, when I obey God, because I'm looking for the meaning and the truth and the ultimate in life and in pleasure and in fulfillment, that's called the lower level fear. The higher level fear does not involve my desires, my needs, and my life. It's not because my life is important to me that I want to serve God, but the opposite. Because God is important to me, even my life becomes less important or unimportant. And that is the self-sacrifice that is inherent in every commandment, in the observance of any commandment. I put God before myself, his interest before mine, means that I am putting God before my life, before my existence. And that's called sacrifice of self, self-sacrifice. Now, in love, there are also two levels. There's a level that is called great love, and there's a level called eternal love. But eternal love has to do with time. And that's why the Hebrew word for it, avas olam, olam means forever, but it also means the world. So there's a love that comes from the world, and there's a love that comes from above, beyond the world. Now this great love, the higher level love, is a love that includes pleasure. It's a pleasure love, because you can have love without pleasure. Someone can be the love of your life and not be the pleasure of your life. Someone can be the pleasure of your life and not be the love of your life, because they're two very different things. On this higher level love, this love called the great love, it is both a love and a pleasure, which is quite intense. This level of love for God, for those who have it, comes from above. There's nothing you can do to produce this kind of love. It is almost a gift given from above in reward for being whole and complete in your fear of God. So when the fear of God is really total and complete and genuine, then you are given a love or an ability to love from above that is called a great love, that is a love and a pleasure, where you love God and get pleasure from God. Now this is a love that comes out of fear. The fear produces the love. And that's what it means when it says that it is the nature of man to search or to seek for a wife. Man here is a metaphor for love. And the love seeks the woman. As it says, the woman who fears God is the woman of valor, because woman is here metaphorically associated with fear of God. So the man seeks the woman means the love of God seeks the fear of God, because without the fear, the love can't happen. Then there's the lower level love, the one that is called the love that is eternal, or the love that is of the world. And that again is when you contemplate God's closeness, when you contemplate the fact that God identifies himself with this world, he chooses this world. That moves you to love God and to reciprocate with that kind of love, where you identify with God and therefore you want to do what God does, the commandments. You want to say, speak the words that God speaks, and you want to think the thoughts that God thinks. So that all the garments of the soul are completely united with God himself. So the exclusivity that we feel in our relationship with God has degrees, has many levels. And in this exclusivity, in general, we can divide it into two parts. There is an exclusivity that comes from recognizing that God is the ultimate in life, and there's the exclusivity that comes from recognizing that God is true and truer than life. Now this recognition that God is truer than life, where do we get this? We are alive. We are in this life. In this condition, where do we find a connection to God? Where do we recognize an exclusivity to God's truth and God's reality that transcends life? How do we transcend ourselves? So this must come from above. This is a gift. When we have the proper fear of God, we are gifted from above with a great love that is higher, greater, more original than life itself. But the lower level love comes from our experience, from within our experience, recognizing that everything we love comes from God, that all pleasure comes from God, that life itself comes from God. That will make our love of God greater than any other love. Why love the product? Why love the incidental, the peripheral, when you can love the essence? Why settle for a crumb of love when you can have the real thing? So when we trace what is precious to its core, to its source, and we find that everything precious is in God, then why love the detail when you can love the whole thing? So our love for God transcends all other loves, but is the product, or we arrive at it through our experience of life and our pleasure and our love of life. And so that's called the lower level. So what we see from all of this is that although there is love and there is fear and there is pleasure, there is wisdom, there is the higher level fear and the lower level fear, there's the higher level love and the lower level of love, the point that should come across in these last few chapters is that the ultimate, the highest and the truest connection between a human being and God is not out of any of these emotions, is not out of any of these awarenesses or understanding or wisdom. The ultimate connection is our ability to be transparent, the ability to put ourselves aside, not to love God to the best of our ability, because that leaves us a distinct, separate entity from God, connected to Him through love or fear. The reason that fear has to exist in the relationship is not because fear is a great quality, a great virtue, a great attribute, although it is, but that's not what makes it so special. What makes it more special than love is the fact that in fear we are more transparent than in love, because love can be selfish. Love has to be selfish. You must experience yourself and appreciate your own value in order to love someone else. Or as the expression in Hasidus is, yesh mi she'ehev. The love makes you aware of yourself. You have to exist in order to love God. And so you're not completely transparent in your experience. In fear, the general nature of fear is that it makes us less significant. We feel insignificant in the presence of a king. We feel our own insignificance in the presence of God. And that's called fear. It doesn't mean frightened. It doesn't mean fear of punishment, which is a whole different subject. What we mean by fear of God is that we're afraid of His greatness. We feel insignificant, we feel tiny, we feel lost in the presence of God. So here, there is less self-awareness, self-consciousness. I'm not conscious of myself. Myself has been wiped out in the overwhelming presence of that which is greater than me, in the overwhelming presence of God. And so it is with love as well. There is a selfish love that is natural. It's the nature of love. But then there's a great love that comes from above. It doesn't come from what I have experienced or from what I find precious and from what is meaningful to me. So that ultimately, it is possible to be selfless in love as well. It is possible to be selfless even in pleasure. Because the pleasure doesn't come from me. And in order to arrive at that, you first have to have the fear. First, there has to be that humility, that ability to step out of my own skin, to transcend my awareness, my experience, my perception of reality, of life, of what's important, of what's good. And so what we have here is the ability to relate to God. This might be a little surprising or controversial. We have the ability to relate to God on a level that transcends value. It transcends goodness. We are connected to God not because it's the right thing, not because it's the good thing, not because it's the noble thing, but simply because it is, because it's true. Noble, right, good, these are all concepts that are limited by our own perceptions. Same is true with a human relationship. There's a connection between husband and wife, between parent and child, that has nothing to do with values. Of course, we value the relationship. Of course, we can explain how noble a relationship should be and can be, and how to go about being noble in the relationship. But beyond all of that, far greater than all of that, is the fact of the relationship, that connectedness that makes two people one person, which is much greater than the virtue, the value, the correctness, and even the holiness that this relationship can and should be invested with. But the relationship itself is much greater.